We are going back to Galatians chapter 5, rather unusual practice for us in the month of December, but we are continuing, in a sense, our study of Galatians chapter 5 in a little different way. So we're going to begin our reading today in Galatians 5 at verse 19. Verse 19, let us hear God's precious word. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, meaning visible, perceivable, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, that is, pride, arrogance, provoking one another in the wrong sense, envying one another. Amen. We end our reading at the close of the chapter, and we do pray that God the Holy Spirit, who gave this word to the apostle thousands of years ago, that he would be pleased to bless the word today. Excuse me. Did you ever notice what a large part trees have in the Holy Scriptures? 192 times at least we read of trees or a tree. God particularly commanded Adam and Eve at the very beginning regarding the fruit that grew on trees to enjoy all of it except one tree from which they were restricted and forbidden. But everything else was for their eating pleasure. Later, when Israel was in the wilderness, they came one day to a big pool of water known as the waters of Marah. And the waters were very bitter, Exodus chapter 25. And Moses prayed, Lord, what are we going to do? We can't drink this water. And the Lord showed him a tree. And they took down this tree and cast it into the waters. And the waters that were bitter suddenly became sweet. You know, there's a lesson there for us. When the waters of life are hard and bitter and we can't take it, we must cry to the Lord and by faith cast in the tree of Christ's cross work for us. In this way, we can go on in his atoning grace and righteousness and strength. But trees, again, in the law of God, he told Israel not to cut down the trees during warfare and use them as bulwarks, but to preserve the trees because they would be needed for people to live on the fruit of the trees. The apostles spoke several times of Christ being hanged on the tree where he atoned for our sins. But you know, the trees go right through the scriptures. Finally, in the book of the Revelation, we find the tree of life in the paradise of God. Its fruit and its leaves are blessed to the nations for all eternity. So it is nothing strange, nothing out of the ordinary to read here in the book of Galatians about fruit, because fruit comes from trees and from other plants. But to read a fruit in the lives of God's elect people, very interesting. Christ said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, "By their fruits ye shall know them." Matthew 7 and verse 20. And you go back to verse 17. Jesus said, "Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." The fruit that is produced by the Holy Spirit in believers is described here in verses 22 and 23. And that fruit is so different from the fruit produced by wicked people in verses 19 to 21. "By their fruits ye shall know them." Now this morning, we are only going to look at the first part of the fruit that is mentioned here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. We need to think about that today. Every one of us need to think about love. And we're going to think about love in three dimensions. In its upward dimension, its outward dimension, and its inward dimension. So first of all, the upward dimension of love. Love is the very character of the triune God. We read of God in 1 John 4 and verse 8. God is love. Very interesting. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13 says, "And now abideth faith, hope, and love." I'm translating there. These three, and the greatest of these is love. You know that our Authorized Version has it as charity, and I'm going to speak to that in a moment. But let's understand that nowhere in the Bible do we read that God is faith. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Nowhere in the Bible do we read that God is faith. And nowhere do we read that God is hope. But we do read that God is love. And the greatest of these is love. Now back to that verse. That word that's translated charity in 1 Corinthians 13, it's translated charity 23 times in our New Testament for the Greek word agape. That's not a problem at all. But 188 times that word is translated love. So think about charity. There was a Tuesday, what was it called? Giving Tuesday? Okay, a lot of people are giving on that Giving Tuesday, and various organizations were asking for charity. All right, what is charity? Charity is a wonderful thing. It is a handout to someone poverty-stricken and in desperate need. Charity is an excellent translation of this Greek word, for charity is what God has done for me, a poverty-stricken, hopeless sinner in desperate need of salvation from certain and everlasting destruction. Praise His name for so great salvation that God so loved He loved us in this way. He showed us his love. How did he show us his love? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you get that? This is wonderful. This is clear. This is simple. Believe on Christ and you are saved forever. Now, God is love. So here is this wonderful dimension, the upward dimension of love. It is God's love coming down to us. Paul and the Holy Spirit start right here with the greatest part of the Spirit's fruit, love. The love of God, the love of the Spirit, and the love of the Son is the source and the spring of all these other eight virtues that are mentioned. You get that? All of these others, you look at them there in verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all springing from the great love of God. We know the love of the Father. How do we know the love of the Father? John 3:16, he so loved, he gave his Son. We know Christ's love. Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Ephesians 5:25. Romans 15:30 speaks of the love of the Spirit. So all three of the persons of the Godhead love us. Love is first upward, coming down from God to us. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that is given unto us. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It was the love of one who needed nothing that loved us into existence. It was his love that held his shredded, bleeding back against the rough, splintery wood of the cross. It was in love for us that he stretched his suffering body upward on the nails for another breath again and again. And he continued to do so on those nails until he had fully satisfied all the righteous demands of the law that would have condemned and ruined us. But it was his love for us that held him there. This is the upward dimension of love. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because the regenerating Holy Spirit opened our blind eyes and our hearts to see the resplendent beauty of him who before, when we saw him, there was no beauty in him that we should desire. But when the Spirit opened our eyes, we love him because he first loved us. Love has this highest upward dimension. Secondly, love has an outward dimension. When a person savingly experiences the love of God in Christ, then that person is enabled to really love other people. To really love other people, we need the love of God in us first. This is exactly what the Holy Spirit moved John to write about. Listen to what John said in 1 John 3:11. This is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. What's he talking about? Well, way back in the law of God, God said it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Way back in the law of God, in the early part of the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Christ quoted that verse repeatedly in his teaching. Loving each other is not natural. Loving each other is supernatural. It is against our natural bent. Loving one another is the very opposite of sinful human nature. Corrupt human nature expressed itself in the very first family, the very first family that lived on this earth. Cain hated his brother and killed him. 1 John 3, verses 12 and 15. Human nature expresses itself in malice and in envy, hateful and hating one another. Titus 3, 3. It takes the almighty work of God's loving grace to change that in us sinners. When the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us and to regenerate us, He produces the luscious fruit of love. Love to God and love to other people. We see this expressed in the other part of the fruit. Verse 22, long-suffering, that is patience. How on earth can you be patient with the other people that live under the same roof you do? How in the world can you treat them with gentleness and meekness? And what is meekness? You remember Moses? Moses, the meekest man on earth. What is meek? Moses was meek. His sister, Miriam, spoke against him, and God struck her with leprosy. And he could have said, oh, girl, you got what's coming to you. You don't oppose your brother like that. No, he didn't say that. He prayed for her, and God healed her. So meekness is what? Not getting even when it's in your power to do so. Loving others, showing patience, manifesting patience with other people, gentleness and meekness is not natural. It is supernatural. It can only be accomplished by the Spirit of God working in our lives. This is so much of the message of 1 Corinthians 13. Charity, reaching out to other poor saints and sinners that are in desperate need of our continual charity. We must give the handouts of kindness and patience and unselfishness every single day that we live. But if you read 1 Corinthians 13 carefully, you will be convicted. I will be convicted by reading and thinking about 1 Corinthians 13. Love, charity, seeketh not her own. It's unselfish. Wow. We will be convicted of our self-seeking, of our impatient, evil, provoking arrogance. We need to be continually humbled by God's Word and Spirit so that we will really love other people. Love has an upward dimension and an outward dimension. But finally, it has an inward dimension. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So we got to love ourselves in the right way. Okay, of course, the question always comes up, as it did to Jesus. Who is my neighbor? Well, our Lord dealt powerfully with that one. Our neighbor is everyone around us that needs loving. But how are we to love them? We are to love them exactly the way we want to be loved. Now, let's think about, how do I want to be loved? Okay, think about this. Christ brought his meaning into sharp focus in Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. So how do we want to be loved? First of all, we want to be nourished and cherished in love. Ephesians 5:29. We even want to be fed. We want to have a measure of health and strength. So, how can we honestly be satisfied by simply saying to someone in need, depart and in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things needful to the body? James 2:16. Are we really loving others the way we want to be loved? We must love others. We must give till we feel it, even till it hurts. Are we in any way meeting the needs of those who are suffering, especially brothers and sisters, anywhere in the world? Are we doing anything to alleviate suffering? Because we want to be fed, we want to be healthy, we want to be nourished, we want to be cherished. So we got to love others that way, the way that we want to be loved. Okay, real Christianity is not about lavishing everything on ourselves while we neglect those that have real needs. Do we know anything about giving like the widows might? Or do we just pharisaically give from our abundance? What do we want? We want to be nourished and cherished. And what else do we want? We want to be saved for all eternity. We want to grow in grace. We want to enjoy God and glorify Him forever. So are we giving the good news to anyone? Are we loving others as we want to be loved ourselves in regard to salvation? Are we doing anything to promote the salvation of others? What do we want? We are to love others the way we want to be loved. We want to be prayed for. We want to be encouraged. We want to be helped in our suffering. We want to be comforted in our sorrows. So the question is, are you earnestly praying for others? Are you encouraging others? Are you helping and comforting anyone? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Real, vibrant love. Well, Cameron, if you need to get up, everybody's left over there. You can go. Okay, so loving God and loving others deeply and actively as we love ourselves. Can you see this fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life? If you can, what wonderful assurance it brings. You think about this. If we can see that we are really doing anything for others motivated by love, it's wonderful because it brings us assurance. It's the Word of God intended it that way. 1 John 3:14, we know. We're not guessing about it. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That's the way God has designed it. That we can be sure if we are expressing real love and concern that costs us something for others that are in need, then we can assure our hearts. We know that we've passed out of spiritual death into spiritual life because we love the brethren. Love has this wonderful upward dimension from God. We love Him because He's first loved us. It has this outward dimension. We love those who are around us, express that love. But how do we do it? We do it from within, because we know the way we want to be loved. So let us pray together. We thank Thee, our Father in heaven, that Thou hast loved us so thoroughly. We praise Thee that even now, that Thou dost love us in that unchanging way. We thank Thee that tomorrow, the next day, and next year, that Thy love for us will continue just the same. Oh, how wonderful. We praise Thee, O God, for the constancy of Thy love. So help us, Lord, to love Thee and to love others as Thou hast loved us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing as we close today from our Big Blue Hymn Book, number 111. Number 111. Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Think about these words as we sing. They're so powerful to speak to our hearts.
Let's please stand as we sing number 111.
Let us pray together. Brother Larry, would you lead us, please?
Father, as we've heard this message and we call the readings of your word, as you reveal yourself to us, we can sometimes wonder whether we can even fathom the love that you have for us, giving your only son and not responding to him as you did to Jacob, to Abraham, as he called out when his hand was raised to take his own son, and you said stop. But you didn't, and your son so willingly went to the cross for our behalf. We thank you that, as Pastor pointed out this morning from your word, that yes, the Holy Spirit loved us so much that he would take and apply that work that you and your son have done on our behalf, applied it to us. We pray that our joy would continue in thee. We pray that we would look forward to the week ahead, the day that is yet to finish, be drawn nearer and nearer to you on a day-by-day basis. And we rejoice in it, and we thank you in Jesus' name.